Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
This verse is a little unusual. It has five lines, and that's because the first line is introducing the other four. So listen to the meter. Tasya nuganan shlokan gayanti. Aho bhuva sapto samudhat vatya. Dvipeshu vareshva. Dipunyametat. Gayanti yatra tya jana morare. Karmani padranyavataravanti. Tasyanu ganan slokan gayanti. Aho bhuvap sapto samudravatya. Dvipeshu vareshva vipunyametat. Gayanti yatratya jana murare. Karmani bhadranyavataranavanti. Translation. Learned scholars chant about the transcendental qualities of Lord Rishabhdev in this way. Quote, that's what the first line says. Oh, this earthly planet contains seven seas and many islands and lands, of which Bharatvarsha is considered the most pious. People of Bharatvarsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnations as Lord Rishabhdev and others. All these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of humanity. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what's the verse? Bharata Bhumite. Haile Manusha Janma Jar Janma Saratakara Kari Kara Para Upakar. As stated in this verse, Bharatvarsha is a most pious land. Look around Hyderabad, isn't it? Pious land. Something happened. The followers of Vedic literature understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his different incarnations, and they are privileged to glorify the Lord by following the directions of Vedic literature. After realizing the glories of human life, such people should take up the mission to spread the importance of human life throughout the whole world. This is the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The word adhipunyam indicates that there are certainly many other pious men throughout the world, but the people of Bharatvarsha are even more pious. Therefore, they are fit to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world for the benefit of all human society. Srila Madhvacharya also recognizes the land of Bharatvarsha. Visheshad Bharate Punyam. Throughout the world there is no question of Bhagavat bhakti or devotional service, but the people of Bharatvarsha can easily understand the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, here's your charge. Every inhabitant of Bharatvarsha, that's you folks, not me, can perfect his life by discharging Bhagavat Bhakti and then preaching this cult throughout the world for the benefit of everyone. This should have been a Diwali verse. Tasyanuganan shlokan gayanti aho bhuvak sapta samudravatya dipeshu vareshu adipunyam etat gayanti yatratyap jana morare karmani bhadranya avataranti taravanti. Learned scholars chant about the transcendental qualities of Lord Rishabhdev in this way. Oh, this earthly planet contains seven seas and many islands and lands, of which Bharatvarsha is considered the most pious. People of Bharatvarsha are accustomed to glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnations as Lord Rishabhdev and others. All these activities are very auspicious for the welfare of humanity. The basis of Lord Chaitanya's teachings are Srimad Bhagavatam, or is Srimad Bhagavatam. In each of the sampradayas, there's a vada or a doctrine that's presented. And there are principal portions of the Vedas that are the principal authorities to support that vada or doctrine. You can go through the four sampradayas, and each of them draw primarily from some source. For example, Nishi Sampradaya, Vishnu Purana, and Padma Purana. Principal source, and so forth. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the line of Madhvacharya, accepted Srimad Bhagavatam as the principal amongst all the scriptures, the authority that is superlative amongst all other authorities. In Jiva Goswami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, or at least one of his three different commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, the Sandarbha commentary, he begins saying first the invocation, all glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in so many nice ways. The Ishtadev is invoked first. Lord Chaitanya is his principal worshipable deity. Then he describes the glories of Lord Chaitanya and the associates of Lord Chaitanya. And he says, one Bhatta, without mentioning his name, Gopal Bhatta, because he promised him he wouldn't mention his name. So he just says, one Bhatta, one learned Bhatta, gave to one Jivakaha, it's a diminutive term of a Jiva is tiny, and a jivakaha is a tiny jiva. So one bhata gave to one jivakaha this amazing assembly of glorification of Srimad Bhagavatam and broke it down in so many different ways, and he asked this jivakaha to compile it for the glorification of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. So to serve that bhata, this book is being presented. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying Krishna, in several verses glorifying Krishna, Krishna this, Krishna that, Krishna that. The real pursuit of happiness and knowledge and eternal life is glorification of Krishna. This treatise is going to do that. It's like the Mangala Charana. Then a full stop, and he says, but before we attempt to describe Krishna, we should ask the question and answer it. What is the best means of knowing Krishna? Pramana, evidence. And he goes through a whole section, ends up saying Srimad Bhagavatam is the best pramana to describe Krishna. It's the pramana kanda of his first of the sandarbhas, tattva sandarbha. And so we have our understood reason why we accept Srimad Bhagavatam in this superlative way. Because the the Vedas themselves speak very glorifying ways about the Puranas, and the Puranas speak in a very glorifying way about the Srimad Bhagavatam. Amala Purana, spotless Purana, above the modes of nature. Shuddha Sattva, untainted. That is to say, the other Puranas, goodness, passionate ignorance, for persons in goodness, passionate ignorance, there's some taint of the other modes, but Srimad Bhagavatam is untainted. So, because Krishna is untainted, the Bhagavatam can disclose Krishna. The Bhagavatam is none different than Krishna. And he explains that. As the Bhagavatam also explains it. When Krishna left, that marked the beginning of Kali Yuga. And as Kali Yuga began, all good qualities became deteriorated rapidly, and is still happening. But shortly after Krishna's departure, just like shortly after the setting of the sun, a brilliant moon, as brilliant as the sun, arose on the eastern horizon. That's Srimad Bhagavatam. To dissipate the darkness of this age of Kali and to give light to all so they can see properly, ultimately see Krishna. The natural activity of those souls who are situated in transcendence is they're immersed. Satatam, they're always engaged in kirtayanto mam, in glorifying Krishna, vibrating sound vibrations in glorification of Krishna. Constantly. When Srila Prabhupada first went to America, as you know the story, he had a friend, Mr. Agrawal, who had a son who lived in Butler, Pennsylvania, and the post-World War II era passed, where the United States lifted, because there was restriction on any immigration, any even visitors, tourist visas were not allowed because of tensions. But they lifted in the mid-60s. They lifted that restriction for tourists to come to America. So Mr. Agrawal arranged with his son in Butler, Pennsylvania, to give a tourist visa sponsorship for Prabhupada to come. So when Prabhupada arrived in New York, he went, got on a bus and went to Butler, Pennsylvania. Living with Mr. Agrawal, Sally Agrawal, his wife, and their little boy, Bridge. They didn't practice anything. I mean, nothing Vedic. They practiced watching television and eating things that devotees don't eat and living a life that's not fit for a sadhu to reside with them. Sally Agrawal described that Srila Prabhupada did not show even a moment of discomfort for his hosts, that he just couldn't stand what they were doing and what they were eating and what they were talking about, what their lives were about. He didn't show any displeasure. He was their guest. But she also said that whatever subject matter would come up, Prabhupada was an excellent conversationalist. He would pick up that subject matter, speak something, and before you knew it, he was speaking about Krishna within the same sentence. And then he would speak about Krishna and speak about Krishna, and the conversation would end because they were interested in Krishna. And some other topic would come up, and Prabhupada would speak about that other topic, and before you knew it, he was speaking about Krishna. She said he just had this marvelous way of always speaking about Krishna. And we never felt uncomfortable. We never felt like he was looking down upon our way of life. He was such a jolly, happy resident in our home. But always speaking about Krishna. Always speaking about Krishna. From the very beginning when he entered into that foreign land. It's something like, certainly the presentation is different, but something like the gopis. They couldn't stop talking about Krishna. They would tell each other, let's just forget Krishna. We're feeling too much pain and misery because he's gone. Let's just forget Krishna. And they couldn't. They would, even if they were talking about forgetting Krishna, they were talking about Krishna. Because their minds were absorbed in him. Their lives were attached to him. And so they couldn't stop talking about Krishna. And this is the platform of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service. In our stage of devotional service, we have to practice. It's called sadhana. We practice not only chanting, but then trying to bring the mind to the chanting. And the mind goes somewhere else while the mouth is still going, and we try to bring the mind back to the sound. And we practice bringing the mind to Krishna. In the characteristic of pure devotional service is there's no effort needed at all. There's a topic of Krishna and the mind just goes there. Even you try to bring the mind back, you can't. The mind just goes there. Won't that be wonderful? To one day attain that state where you just hear the mantra and your mind goes there. And the tongue doesn't want to do anything but vibrate. Krishna Katha. Not a struggle with prajalpa or fault finding or blah, blah, blah. Just no difficulty. One devotee wrote to me yesterday saying they were attending a seminar and the person leading the seminar said, if there's one thing that you could do to improve your spiritual life, what would that be? And they wrote, I immediately said, prajalpa, vacho vegam, just say something. Instead, replace that tendency with attachment for Krishna. Very simple. If it's so simple, why we can't do it so easily? Because we have another attachment. Although the intelligence says, yes, the attachment says, what are you doing? So this verse is describing learned scholars in the real sense, not in the mundane sense of learned scholars, but a realized personality who is a learned scholar, speak about Lord Rishabhdev and his qualities in this way. So specific in the verse is people out of the whole planet, people of this place, they're disposed, they're prone, they like to vibrate the glories of Murari, the personality of Godhead, Krishna, and other incarnations like Rishabhdev. They like to do like that. And in so doing, the verse says, these activities, glorification of these activities, the activities and the glorification of these activities is so auspicious that it brings the best of all welfare to all of humanity. One time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, when we're chanting Hare Krishna, should we think this Hare Krishna mantra, Krishna's name, is so auspicious, it's giving spiritual benefit to all living entities? And Prabhupada said, you don't have the capacity to think of all living entities. Just hear the sound of the holy name. That's where your attention should go. Because when you're chanting in that way, that's attentiveness to the sound of the holy name. And when that attentiveness is there, automatically the byproduct is there. And when inattentiveness is there, something benefit is there, but not all living entities. So it takes, are receiving topmost benefit, best welfare work. It may be the best welfare work that we can do is inattentively chant the holy name. But the best welfare work is to attentively chant the holy name with mind consciousness absorbed in the glories of the personality of Godhead and his wonderful qualities, his loving relationships with his devotees. Just like today is Govardhan Puja. Because amongst how many million people are there in India today? What's the number? Anybody know? 1.2 billion. That's a lot of million. One heard the message, enact it according to the message of this verse and Lord Chaitanya's instruction specifically. Take this message, make your two parts, make your life perfect, and second part, take it all over the world and give it to others. So fast forward over time, and here we are on Govardhan Puja, where because one person did what the Bhagavatam and Lord Chaitanya said, on this day, Govardhan Puja Day, how many millions of persons are benefiting by hearing the glories of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill? Millions of millions. Just one example. I don't know what it's like today, this year. But one year at Govardhan Puja, I was in the Ukraine. You know where that is geographically? It used to be part of Russia, now it's a separate country. And the capital of the Ukraine is Kyiv or Kiev, depending where you're from, how you pronounce it. And the devotees, every year for Govardhan Puja, they make a mountain of cake. And each year, and they circumambulate. Now, the people in Russia, and Russian-speaking part of the world, they're very, very simple. They don't know who is Krishna. They don't know what Damodarastakam is. But they participated in offering like thousands of people who just attended a function because they received a flyer they didn't know. I was in another place, in Kharkov, way over the eastern side, in a government building. The windows were broken. There was no heat, and everybody came with their big, you know, fur caps and coats. Unheated building. It was cold. I mean, you could see your breath. It was cold. And they came by the thousands. Just one invitation. It was somebody gave out a flyer, and they came. And there they were offering their lamps, dancing along with Damodarastakam prayers, circumambulating Govardhan Hill. Very simple people, naturally inclined in a devotional way, and sat and heard a lecture. Niranjan Maharaj was speaking with a translator. It went on for over an hour and a half with a brand new audience. Can you imagine doing that here? What to speak of the West? People get restless after 10, 15 minutes. New people. They sat and listened to the whole thing. Nobody got up and left. It was amazing. And then I saw videos of what they did in Kiev. They had it's become a spectacle, so much so that it's nationally televised. They make a cake that's as big as this room. And you can't fit it in one camera shot. It has to pan over the whole thing. Now, in a tall one, not as tall as Govardhan Hill, but a tall one, not just a flat cake, a hill of cake. And they have kirtan, and nationally televised, they circumambulate, and somebody is explaining what the Leela is. Who is Krishna? Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill, the inhabitants, and the whole story. Nationally televised. There goes several million right there. Several million. And then you add how many people are going to come to the Juhu Temple today, and Chaupati Temple, and other large temples, this temple, you add them up, and all over the world, because one person took this message seriously. He carried the message in his heart and took the glories of the personality of Godhead and delivered them. And now he has, by that, persons representing him who are not born in India doing the same all over the world. All over the world. I'll share something with you. On the flight, or just before the flight coming to Hyderabad yesterday, I was sitting in the airport waiting for the flight to depart. And two young Indian, like college age fellows came. They came with a group. They sat near me and they were curious. I was the white elephant sitting on the seat over there, and they wanted to, you know, find out about the white elephant. Are you with the Hare Krishna movement? You're with ISKCON. Yes, with ISKCON. What attracted you to this? And all those kind of questions. And then they start, one of them was a literary person. You know, they asked, what do I do? And, you know, what will I be doing? So they were coming to Hyderabad to attend a funeral. Sudden. I said, have you been to our center in Hyderabad? Said, we go, I've been to the Bangalore center, the one up on the hill. Yeah, it's okay. And we'll, so I told them the address here. And I don't know if they're, are they in the audience right now? The same persons I met? No. Invited them to come. Said, tomorrow's Govardhan Pooj. Come tonight, it's Diwali. I don't know what your funeral requirements are, but if you have time, please come. And they said, you know, what do you do? So I said, I explained Bhagavad Gita. Oh, Bhagavad Gita. I've heard of Bhagavad Gita. And Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, yeah, that's describes the 10 avatars of Vishnu. I said, no, it's the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the glories of the personality of God at 18,000 verses. He said, I like literature. And he started speaking, said, in America you have a number of very wonderful authors, Ernest Hemingway and F. Scott Fitzgerald. And I said, yeah, the Great Gatsby. He said, yes, that's a very good book, The Great Gatsby. It's a, you know, an American author. They're zoned in, tuned in to avidya. The very same persons that this verse is speaking about are inclined to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's a role reversal. Here I am, an American sitting in the seat, should be hearing from them, and they're having to hear from me. Because of the mercy of our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, who took this message very seriously, that one should do this. The punya is that from Krishna has appeared here. All the incarnations of the Lord have appeared in India. Why? He's not attracted to go to the United States or Russia or Africa or China or those other places, because here there's his devotees, the pious souls who are naturally attracted to him. So it's there, but it's just beneath the surface, and a little scratching of the surface, and there it is. But Srila Prabhupada is the mandate of Lord Chaitanya, and over and over and over again, Prabhupada would repeat like a refrain, you know, hit the drum, bang the gong, and say, all over the world. But even before you go all over the world, there's a prior part. What's the prior part? Make your lives perfect. By this Bhagavat Dharma process. Bhagavat Dharma process means hearing and chanting, just as the verse is describing. the glories of the personality of Godhead. The assembly of devotees, whether it's at the temple or not at the temple, wherever there's an assembly, congregation, gathering of devotees, that's what devotees like to do. They like to have kirtan. They like to hear and participate in Krishna Katha. And they like to give that opportunity to others and distribute prasadam in conjunction with those activities of hearing and chanting. And so we'll be doing that today, here, and all over the world, out of the mercy of one who heard this message, took it to heart, and carried it out. With whatever capacity Krishna gave him. One time, Srila Prabhupada described the outcome of doing that was beyond my imagination. At other times he said differently. You maybe have heard this little episode where Prabhupada was in Montreal and he had gone for a walk and he was seated on a park bench and someone came and sat next to him and said, "Are you a yogi? Are you a swami?" He said, "Yes, I'm a swami." He said, "What do you do?" And Prabhupada said, "I'm presenting Krishna consciousness." And the man asked, "How many temples do you have?" And Prabhupada said, "Hundreds of temples. Just time is separating." At that time, there were three temples. Hundreds of temples. Just time is separating. Or when the devotees, some devotees had, with great innovation, they came up with the idea of buying Mercedes-Benz buses in Germany, driving them overland through the mountains of Afghanistan and so forth, coming to India and using them to travel around and present public programs with pandal tents and Fairchild video projectors, and because people like technology, then that was like cutting edge technology. And Prabhupada's comment was, "Yes, I envisioned this, hundreds of such traveling parties of brahmacharis and sannyasis moving about India, even before I came to America." He engaged Lokanath Maharaj in bullock cart going into the villages. Again, after he did that, Prabhupada said, I had envisioned hundreds of such bullock carts going throughout the whole of the land. He had the vision in his mind, just he couldn't do it all alone, so he was requiring others to step forward and assist him. But on another occasion, he described the opposite. He said, "Just this one thing, faith in the words of my spiritual master, I had no expectation that things would come out as they have come. Just the mercy of my spiritual master that things have developed this way, beyond my imagination. Success beyond my imagination. Just by placing faith in the simple instruction, just as we're hearing, this one verse. Just take this one verse. You're from India. Maybe someone in the audience out there that's not from India, but you're most of you from India. This is your verse. It's got your name at the bottom. Dear Prabhu, dear Mataji, this is for you. Absorb yourselves. It's not a nationalistic inspiration. Even if you take it that way, okay, take it that way and absorb yourself in the message. But it's not a nationalistic message. it's a transcendental message that there are some souls especially fortunate to be born where from childhood or even before birth they're hearing Krishna's name, the glories of Krishna, and grow up like that. Prabhupada described in the relation to Maharaj Parikshit from the first canto of Bhagavatam that because he was born in the family of the Pandavas, grandson of the Pandavas, even before he was born, Krishna was central in his life. And from the time of his childhood, he was engaged in hearing about Krishna and the Pandavas. Fast forward in time, and all over the world, there are mothers and fathers with little children who are engaging them in this way because one person took this seriously. This mercy is, it spreads throughout all of humanity. And if humanity can live their life in Krishna consciousness, all the other species of life automatically also benefit. Or say it the other way around. For want of Krishna consciousness, all the other species of life are suffering. All the other species of life are suffering for want of Krishna consciousness in the human society. Just a vision in my mind right now is, I can't even remember where I was. Somewhere. Streets of Chennai, I think it was. We were in a car riding behind a truck. In the back of the truck was cages filled with chickens. Like stuffed. And who cares? You know, that those fellows, they don't care. And then, you know, get on the airplane and do you want chicken or mutton? You know, get out of here. Take your trash and... But, you know, that's the civilization. And one just gets covered by it. It's so awful. All the other species of life suffer when the human species is lacking in Krishna consciousness. It's the best welfare work for all humanity and thus for all species of life to awaken Krishna consciousness. And this is the means. And those who are truly intelligent and truly pious and truly learned, they do like that. But people are misguided. It's the age of Kali. Most unfortunate circumstance in this age. Some of us have become a little fortunate. Our eyes have become opened with transcendental knowledge. We have received something of that transcendental benefit coming from the light of the Bhagavad. And we should work diligently in our lifetime to receive more of that light and leave aside the darkness of this most forsaken age, age of Kali. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, appreciating Srimad Bhagavatam and the glories of the Lord as mentioned here, will benefit us enormously and take it forward and present it to others. Literally in the form of just giving people books, speaking to others wherever you go, speaking to what, just as Prabhupada did in Sally Agarwal's living room. Don't make people uncomfortable, but speak about Krishna. Even a little beginning. I'll end with this. Bridge grew up, that little boy. He now lives, is married, and has children. So Sally Agarwal and I forget what his name is, they went to visit him, and it's near St. Louis. So they stopped at our St. Louis temple. And to this today, they have such appreciation for Prabhupada. He was there for a very short time. They didn't know who he was when he came to the door, because it was just his father had asked him to write something. So he wrote something and, you know, knock on the door. Swamiji's at the door. To this day, their lives are permanently changed because of that association. They're not sadhakas. They didn't let that much light in. But they have deep affection and appreciation for Prabhupada. Their life is permanently changed. The soul is permanently benefited. So we can also be such agents of our founder Acharya if we take his instructions to heart. So we have a nice day ahead of us of kirtan and worshipping Govardhan and hearing the glories of Krishna's wonderful pastimes with his devotees. I'm happy to be here with you on Govardhan Puja Day. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Prabhupada ki jai.